This program is built around competition, and we're always in pursuit of finding great competitors that will help us build a great team. And there's no way we could find anybody that is more focused and directed and committed to giving everything he's got to every opportunity he's going to get. So for us to make this statement today is like it fits perfectly. We're so proud to have Max be part of the organization. He knows that's just the start of it.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. On Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Here's your boy Q.
Pete Carroll talking about competition, talking about Max Crosby. That was the other day when Max Crosby signed his contract extension, the 3-year deal, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in league history. That won't last long. Next week is free agency. It's Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Nick Shook from NFL.com will join us in a few minutes. We'll talk all things combine, talk all things free agency, and a lot more. But as we kick off hour number 3 of the show, we've got breaking news. That's our new breaking news sounder here on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. Vinny Bonsignore has talked about it. I teased it. Got a couple text messages between now and then. And bada boom, bada bing, Adam Schefter tweets out, Geno Smith is being traded to the Las Vegas Raiders for a 3rd-round pick. Per sources, Ian Rappaport, the Seahawks and Geno Smith had contract talks but could not make progress. Now he heads to the Raiders. Meanwhile, Seattle is expected to explore Sam Darnold, amongst others. Vic Tafer, our good friend from The Athletic. Raiders were never terribly excited about the prospect of signing Sam Darnold, so they swing the trade Pete Carroll's old buddy, Geno Smith. So there it is. There it was. We talked about it. We spent some time with it. As I mentioned, how would you feel about Geno Smith in the silver and black? Now a 3rd-round pick goes to Seattle's way. Geno Smith comes to Las Vegas to be part of the competition that is the quarterback with the silver and black. So we'd love to hear from you at 702-365-9200. That is the text line. That is the phone line. We'll get your thoughts coming up in just a hot minute. But joining us now on the phone lines is our good friend Nick Shook from NFL.com. And Nick, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you. I know you just heard the breaking news about Geno Smith and the Raiders. So we kind of know what it is when it comes to Geno Smith and he's reuniting with Pete Carroll. So I'll start off talking with you about the combine and everything that we saw in Indianapolis. And, you know, you were a guy that I caught up with in Indy. What was, I guess, your biggest takeaway from what you saw at the combine?
Well, my biggest takeaway is I might have to board a flight out to Vegas to keep up with my Hugh Myers takes after seeing you twice in about 3 weeks. This class is strong at positions that aren't as sexy to the average fan. You know, like quarterback receiver isn't very good. Outside of like Ted McMillan and Emeka Ogbuka, it kind of falls off a little bit. Quarterback as well, is not great beyond Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. And we saw that on the field. But where it's very strong is interior offensive line, interior defensive line, running back. You get a little bit of edge talent. You got some linebacker talent. You got some promising safeties, some promising corners. So there's definitely going to be some players to be had. It's just probably not going to look like last year's draft did. And the variety will be good. I also think it's going to be one of the most unpredictable drafts we've seen in a long time.
I agree with that. And, you know, I love the fact that you brought up the running backs. I know you put a piece out on NFL.com about the running backs and different fits that they have across the league. But how impressed were you with just the running backs when they were out there performing? They all looked to be, to me, really, really fast.
Really fast, really close in performance. A ton of guys running in the 4.4s. You looked at like the top 10 leaderboard. They were like hundredths of a second off, most of them. Very tightly packed group. And the workouts were like that too. And, you know, we've had past years where, you know, like the Bijan Robinson class, it was like, I'm watching all these guys work out. And I'm like, clearly Bijan is a step or 5 steps ahead of the rest of this group. Like, he just moves different. He looks the part. This group had a number of guys that looked the part. The 2 Ohio State running backs, yeah. Travion Henderson outruns Quinshon Judkins, doesn't work out in the drills. Judkins does, and he's like an artist when it comes to running routes. He ran the best routes of any running back there, but it goes beyond there. We had a number of other players that really stood out. I thought, you know, ETN, you know, Travis's younger brother from Georgia, he did a fantastic job as well. And we had the kid, Bashal Tootin from Virginia Tech, throw down a crazy fast 40 that now has him on the radars of a lot of NFL teams. So, I mean, I heard buzz about him that night in Indy, you know, hours after he put down that time. And which that fits. That's what happens in Indy. Sometimes you go out and you crush it on the field and people start talking about you. But even, you know, Donovan Edwards tested well. I didn't like his drills as much. RJ Harvey, the kid from UCF, is a bit of a home run hitter. He performed well as well. Jaden Blue from Texas put down a crazy fast 40, and Dylan Sampson looked good too. There's a number of there's all kinds of talent at the position. So it's a good time to need a running back. It's just that you may end up drafting them higher than you drafted past ones, but I think it's because of the talent level.
Yeah, well, the Raiders need running backs, and I've been saying multiple times that I think they'll come out of this draft with two of these guys, especially with Chip Kelly coming from Ohio State. Those Ohio State guys, I'm sure, are looking really good to him right now. Were you surprised at all or shocked at all that Amarion Hampton came out and there was some guys and some scouts and evaluators that actually have him ranked higher than Ashton Gentry at this stage of the game?
A little bit, but the thing about the combines, the thing about general managers, and it's been justified in the past, although it's not universal, is when guys test well, they shoot up draft boards. I mean, they are looking for the measurements and the 40 times and the broad jump and the vert and those types of things that demonstrate explosion in these players, and they are comparing them to past players who have succeeded. And that's how you get these comps that might be 10, 15, 20 years apart. And you end up getting matched up with some really legendary players. And that's what these GMs are always looking for. They're not necessarily looking for the guy who ran the best drills or, you know, has quite the best tape, but they're looking for guys with potential. And the testing numbers always, if they're strong, suggest potential. And I think that's the story of Hampton. You know, his drills weren't really that clean. That's why I didn't put him on my team. Because I wasn't overly impressed by how he moved on the field. And oftentimes the field separates the contenders from the pretenders, but not necessarily at running back unless you're an elite level talent like Bijan was. So I think that he's going to get a ton of attention. He's already gaining a lot of steam. Folks might wonder why he wasn't on my team. That's why. And I don't put too much stock in that, but in a group that's so close, that was the difference. And I do think that he'll attract a lot of attention. And it's not the first running back to come from that school that's attracted a lot of attention in recent years. I also think about Javonte Williams. So we'll see. There's going to be a lot of talented guys at that position. And I think we're going to see more running backs drafted in the first 50 picks than we've seen in a long time. And it's justified.
Nick Shook is with us from NFL.com here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. If I'm talking about the combine, I do have to ask about the quarterbacks. What was your overall impression of the quarterbacks who did participate? The guys not named Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. What did you think about them? Was there a guy that solidified himself as QB3?
No, you know, he came into the weekend and I was really excited to see Jackson Dart throw because he's been gaining a lot of steam for, you know, his leadership and his intangibles, and he can be a guy that goes out there. And I think I saw Danny Kelly from The Ringer describe him as a point guard passer. And I saw that in his workout. But what I didn't see was complete consistency. Now, my bar is high because it was only a couple of years ago that I was sitting in the same seat in Indy and watching C.J. Stroud put together an incredible throwing display when it came to accuracy throwing on air. And none of these quarterbacks did that. Dart had a decent workout, didn't hurt himself. Some people think that he's climbing the charts. I think he did good enough. I also look at the rest of the group and think that the bar is not very high. You know, if you're comparing one-to-one, the standard just wasn't as high. The receivers weren't good either, though. Right. That's the thing, and it makes it hard to evaluate is when receivers are running the wrong routes. Who was at fault here? Who is to blame? I hate to sound like a hater, but I've never been more disappointed and felt as like dejected after watching a quarterback receiver session than I did on Saturday at the combine this year. And a lot of that's because the top tier guys didn't participate. You know, you didn't get an Abuka, you didn't get a Ted McMillan, you didn't get Shedeur or Cam. But it surprisingly, you know, what I want is consistency. I want to be able to see you make every throw on the field consistently. And some guys were stronger in some areas than others. Jalen Milroe, the deep ball, you know, grabbed the attention of so many people. I thought Tyler Shuck started strong, kind of tailed off at the end. Quinn Ewers was not very good. Did not display arm strength that I think you need at the next level. Will Howard was all over the place. And when I walked away, I was like, Brady Cook was the best guy in the field out of all these guys. So I think there's a lot to sort through. There are no complete prospects beneath the top two. And I think that there are maybe no complete prospects overall. Cam Ward obviously has the lead in that discussion, but it's going to be a very interesting class. I don't know if we're going to see a lot of these guys in the league for very long, but we'll see. I've been wrong before, and I could definitely be wrong here.
You know, obviously we talk about the quarterbacks a lot here on Raider Nation Radio 920 for obvious reasons. The Raiders need one. The two guys at the top, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, coming out of the combine. Cam Ward had a bigger lead, according to reports, than Shedeur, but neither one of the guys did anything. So what are your overall takes between those two QBs and kind of, you know, how are you feeling about them as they're heading into this process?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know GMs to be the type to go compare notes during the week. It's more about, you know, trading information and rubbing elbows and that sort of thing. But it seems with the whole Cam thing as if they did, because neither did anything, like you said, and yet there's a bigger gap now. So maybe some folks talked and realized, yeah, we agree. He's better than this guy. Maybe it was GMs who aren't in the running for a quarterback and they're still doing their homework on those guys. I just thought that was kind of curious. I will say this. Shedeur commanded the podium like a kid who grew up in front of the cameras. He was incredibly charismatic. I'm hard to convince. I'll give everybody a shot, but I am not the type of person that is easily sold on anybody. And I was sold on Shedeur in about 3 minutes. So if there's anything that you're looking for in a quarterback as it pertains to how he'll adjust to a locker room, Shedeur will be perfectly fine at that. He will ingratiate himself to his new teammates no matter where he lands, and he'll do so very quickly. But the rest of it is interesting, the fact that they felt like Cam had taken a bigger lead. I've always felt like Cam was the better of the two. A little bit more experience, I think, probably built to, you know, go succeed right away more than Shedeur is. But situation matters so much with quarterbacks in the NFL. It's, you know, you can plug and play one guy here and he could be great, or he could be fine, and he could be terrible in another situation because he's got no time to throw. And that is always has to be considered when you're, you know, weighing the outlook of these quarterbacks. But yeah, it's interesting. I think Cam's still the first quarterback off the board. The question is if he goes number one or not, and that remains.
There's no doubt about that. Again, Nick Shook is with us here at Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness. So that was the combine. Those are the guys that are looking to get into the NFL. Talking about guys that are in the NFL, DK Metcalf, we find out about him. He requests a trade out of Seattle. This is the same day that the Seahawks released Tyler Lockett, longtime wide receiver there. First and a third is what we're hearing that they want. They're not going to get that. Where do you think DK Metcalf ends up, and what do you think he ultimately is going to go for?
Yeah, same day, more like same hour. Talking right. About, you know, putting a damper on what was supposed to be you know, a bit of a nice little farewell for Tyler Lockett, who's done a lot for the Seahawks. But that's the business, man. You got to seize the opportunity when it arrives, and DK clearly wants that of Seattle and probably didn't like the usage that he saw last year. Jackson Smith and Jigba ends up being the more productive guy. And I agree, you're not going to get a first and a third for him because the contract that comes with it is what you're trading for. And the price is too high to justify a first-round pick and a third-round pick. So I think that Seattle will adjust their expectations. I also think that this is an offseason in which, you know, receivers are going to be hot commodities in the trade market because the draft is not strong at the position. We've already seen Deebo Samuel get traded. And I think, you know, there was a lot of chatter about DK to the Packers, you know, leading up to his request. I think that's still very much an option, but I think most anybody would take him. I think it was on McAfee's show today that there's a lot of momentum toward DK going to the Patriots, which initially felt like Adam Gase trading Jarvis Landry to the Browns and trying to send him to football purgatory. But then I thought Drake May's there, new regime there. Maybe it's not as bad as it seems, you know. Initially, it'll be better down the road. I definitely know that I think the fit would be best where he is a clear number one and gets a ton of targets, because that's not what he got in Seattle last year. We'll see what the compensation is. I don't think he fetches a first and a third. Maybe he fetches, I don't know, a two or a three standalone. Mm-hmm. But that price that comes with that contract is just a little too much to be able to give up a first round pick in return.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, the Raiders gave up a first and a second for Devontae, right, a few years ago, and that was after Devontae established himself as
and gave him an extension.
And gave him an extension, but he was also like the number one, maybe top two, top three wide receiver in the league at that time, right? I don't think that we can have that same conversation about DK. He's a fantastic player, but I wouldn't put him in that conversation, the top three, top five, hell, even probably top 10 wide receiver at this stage of the game.
Yeah, I would maybe put him in the back end of the top 10. I mean, that size, you don't teach that size.
That's true.
He's a freak athlete, and he's a big play artist. It's just not consistent. And, you know, there's been some drama with him and the Seahawks over the last year or so. And I think that kind of dampens his standing. But in the right situation, the guy could be big time. It's just that, is he ever going to go up at the level of a Justin Jefferson? He's not quite the same player, or a Ja'Marr Chase, not quite the same player. No. And I think that you're spot on there. I think back end of the top 10 would be more realistic, but I'm not putting him in the top three, top five, and so that's going to lessen the compensation.
So next week is legal tampering period begins on Monday with the new league year starting on Wednesday. Who are you kind of looking at that you think, you know what, this guy's going to be probably gotten off the board pretty quickly next week?
Well, I mean, we have to figure out the Sam Darnold conundrum, yeah, first and foremost.
Yeah.
I mean, the Vikings have to figure out what they're going to do there. It's funny, I was doing some market value comparisons with tag numbers and everything, and obviously didn't get the tag, but they basically had his market value at the tag number on SpotRack, and I was like, okay, that makes sense, but would I give Sam Darnold $40 million in a year? No. would I try to find a compromise between the 10 and the 40, the 10 that he made last year and the 40 that he would be projected to make? Yeah. Would I be fine at 1 year, $25 million when you have the cap space the Vikings have? Yes, but it just feels like you're walking yourself into a Nick Foles, Carson Wentz situation if you do that, and that did not end, you know, positively. And I don't think the Vikings want to do that. I thought we might get a tag and trade scenario. We did not. So I think that it's going to be interesting because there's a lot of question marks with him. Yes, he had a really great season. He also had two terrible games at the worst possible time that reminded us of the person that he was before he got to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So what do you put more weight into? He also had a ton of time to throw and was really good under pressure when he was under pressure. And they were had a very well-balanced offense with a ton of talent. Aaron Jones went for 1,100 rushing yards. You had Justin Jefferson. You had Jordan Addison. You've got TJ Hockenson. That is not the situation in some of these other places. So are you going to be paying for a guy who breaks down under pressure or gets confused by quarter shells that opposing defenses throw at him like the Rams did? Because at that point, it's not worth it. But that's going to be, I think, one of the first players that we pay attention to when it comes to, you know, what could happen here. And then, you know, you've already seen Zach Bond stick around. Another guy that I'm paying attention to is Ronnie Stanley, because he's a guy who, you know, north of 30, you know, 30, 31, and has not been healthy, save for last year.
Right.
He played on a salary that was very affordable last year, $7.5 million. He took a pay cut because he knew he wasn't really deserving of the money that he was making, and it helped the Ravens out. But now he's played well enough to, you know, earn postseason honors and earn another payday. And tackles are a premium in the NFL. It's hard to find, you know, rock solid offensive linemen. He played like one, but he's going to be healthy again because he hadn't played 13 or more games, save for three out of the total seasons in his career. Last year was the first time he ever played an entire season. That gives me pause when it comes to investing him. So he's another guy I want to keep an eye on. I'm really curious to see what the Buccaneers are able to do with Chris Godwin, if he actually makes it to free agency. They pushed back the void date on his contract in order to buy themselves more time to negotiate, and in exchange, forfeited their right to tag him. He's coming off the ankle injury that he suffered against the Ravens last year in the final minutes of that loss to Baltimore. So there's some question there about health. Value at his age, is he going to attract top dollar, or are the Buccaneers going to be able to find a way to keep him because him and Baker are so good? Baker's completion percentage when targeting Godwin's over 80%. His passer rating's over like 125. They're really good. And when he's on the field, that offense is very good, but it could be that point in time in which they turn toward Jalen McMillan, maybe add another receiver, and kind of look toward the future. So those are a few guys that I'm keeping my eyes on, but there is some depth in this free agency class. The top tier stuff is not there, but Javon Holland, young safety,
yeah,
who is going to go to free agency, who I think could help out a lot of teams. Dre Greenlaw has been an important part of San Francisco, but they've been banged up at a number of different spots and they have questions to answer. The Chiefs have already made a lot of moves to adjust their cap situation and fix all of that. They tagged Trey Smith, which I thought was smart. Joe Tooney's on the move. So they have some repurposing to do. And last but not least, speaking to your heart in Vegas with the quarterbacks, where is Justin Fields going? Is he going to Pittsburgh, as in staying in Pittsburgh because right, they realize they're only going to sign one of the two, or is he going to go somewhere else to a team that's going to, you know, take a risk on his potential athletically? His market value on SpotRack was crazy low, like $6 or $7 million.
Right.
I'd take a flyer on him in a heartbeat at that rate. So I think he'll attract a lot of interest. Interested to see where he lands.
No, I agree. I'm glad you brought up Justin Fields. I would be intrigued by him as a guy that realizes you're not going to be the long-term guy. Like if I'm the Raiders and I say, hey, Shador or Cam is my guy and I'm going to go get him, I would have no problem letting Justin Fields be the guy originally. You know what I mean? And then when they're ready, especially at that rate that you just mentioned, if it's a lower rate, I would have no problem doing that.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that this there's a little flame of curiosity that still exists with some people, including myself, that maybe eventually he could be the guy. It just hasn't been bludgeoned over the head enough with evidence that he's not the guy quite yet. Maybe one more season and I'll have it proven to me, but it's a low risk thing, and you throw him out there and you see what he does, and he's not your only option, and you plan accordingly and see what happens. And I think that makes him very attractive to a lot of different teams. And we still have a number of teams that need a quarterback. You got the Raiders, you got the Giants, you got the Browns. That's just a few among some others. You could count the Jets in there as well. I think he's probably one of the most fascinating guys that are out there on the open market as well. And I want to see that now that Joey Bosa has left the Chargers, if the Chargers are able to keep Khalil Mack, and if that makes them a possible partner for a Trey Hendrickson deal, because apparently that's been picking up since he was granted permission to seek a trade as well. So there's a lot of good things to track in this group. You know, we're down in the 26, 27, 28 range of Greg Rosenthal's top 101, and I'm seeing legit players. Stephon Diggs is 30th on this list, coming off an ACL. Cam Robinson, 28th on this list, played really well with Minnesota after getting traded in the middle of the season. So there's a lot of really fascinating players here that could make differences on different teams.
Well, we'll close out with this, and fantastic. It's always great catching up with you again. Nick Shook is with us here, Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness. This team, you said near and dear to me when you were talking about Justin Fields and the Raiders. I'm going to go near and dear to you and the Cleveland Browns. What in the world is going on? Myles Garrett requested a trade, and now he also requested a meeting with the owner. And the owner said, no, go talk to the GM. To me, Nick, if you're trying to keep a guy, which they say they are, that's not the way to endear to the star player's heart. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't look good publicly. But you know what? I'm not defending the Browns here, but just somebody's trying to see both sides of the situation. It didn't look very good when Myles Garrett put out that trade request publicly and then went on a media tour immediately after.
Yeah, he did.
Ended up on Radio Row, you know, doing all kinds of shows. And continues to take interviews and talk about how much he does not want to be in Cleveland, where he's been through some rough years with this and has also enjoyed some success. I understand the motivation. You want to go win, but he's in that rare position where he's so good that the price is going to be so high that it's going to, lessen the amount of total suitors that are going to make legitimate offers for him. And the Browns, understandably so, have dug in and are like, we're not trading him. He's too good. We're never going to get the proper return on him. And we're just going to wait it out. And we're essentially in a staring contest. You know, I just did radio in Cleveland earlier today, and we talked about this too, where I'm just like, you guys better get comfortable, because I don't think this is getting solved anytime soon. Because I think that based on Jimmy Haslam's reported answer that, go talk to Andrew Berry, the Browns are lockstep here. We're not moving you, and we're not going to, acquiesce to your demands here. And if you have a problem with our vision as an organization, as a football team, you take that up with the GM. He's also not trying to undermine his GM, who he hired to make these decisions and have these talks with these players, which I respect. It just doesn't look good from the outside. It doesn't look good on either party. It's ugly. I think it's going to get uglier. And the only way I think it's resolved is if you set up a bit of a bidding war, like the Texans once did with Deshaun Watson, kind of take in offers and then choose the best one. But I think we only get there if they realize that there really is no hope of patching things up, and they have free agency ahead of them. If they address quarterback and a couple of other spots, they could look a lot better, and perhaps it's more convincing to try to keep Myles Garrett. But that's why I don't think it's going to be solved anytime soon. I mean, maybe right before the draft, because they could throw spaghetti at the wall and go with multiple quarterbacks. You can get a Kirk Cousins in a trade. You can draft a quarterback, or you decide to, get a Kirk Cousins or somebody else, a veteran, and decide to trade Myles Garrett and you draft Abdul Carter. Like, there's a lot of different options on the table right now, so there's no reason for the Browns to show their hand or give in at any point right now, not with the value being so high on a guy like Myles Garrett.
I know it's early March, but what is your kind of prediction? Are the Browns sitting there at number two? Are they selecting a quarterback? Or are they going other?
Well, it all depends on what Tennessee does, because I think if Tennessee doesn't go Cam Ward, then the Browns go Cam Ward. It was kind of explained to me like this on the show I was on earlier today. Two scenarios. Titans take Cam Ward 1, Browns take Carter 2. Titans take Carter 1, Browns take Ward 2. Or then there's the chaos scenario that I threw out there. That doesn't happen. One of those teams trades out, and then suddenly we have no idea what's going to happen. This is going to be one of the most unpredictable drafts. I mean, we got chalk last year, and we've gotten chalk to the first few picks every year for a while now. We're not going to get chalk here, I don't think. I think we're everything is on the table, and movement will be very possible. So it's going to be a fascinating and very entertaining draft.
No, it will. It really will, for every reason that you just mentioned, and then some. Of course, right there at the thick of things are the Raiders at 6, and they're obviously going to see what everyone else is doing to make their decisions on what they're doing. It's going to be a hell of an offseason. The new league year is not even here yet, Nick, and there's already so many scenarios right in front of us. Well, fantastic stuff. What are you working on, my man, that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, we had the all-combine teams come out. You know, we're doing all the free agency coverage right now. You know, you can check out Greg Roosevelt's Top 101 at NFL.com. You can find my all-combine team there as well. And the coverage does not stop. All these trade requests, guys getting cut. Somebody just got cut right now. You know, so like, it just continues. Yep. Like, no matter what. I got blasted by news from about 4 to 7:30 last night, just one after another after another. Evan Ingram gets cut by the Jags.
Yep.
Josh Reynolds just gets thrown in there as well. So teams are remaking their rosters, and we are documenting it all on NFL.com. And, of course, as always, you can check me out on NFL Daily with Greg Rosenthal. I'll be on there twice in the coming week. And the Gridiron Podcast, we just threw an episode up there, me and Katie Caldwell and Sean Barry talking football and Formula One. F1 starts soon. And college football and Madden action, always live on Twitch at The Nick Shook as well.
Boom. There it is. The one-stop shop is what I call you. Like I said, man, it was great catching up with you in Indianapolis. It's always fun. Thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the weekend and buckle up. You know it's going to go fast and furious with the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Built for it. Ready for it. Let's get it going. Thank you.
Thank you, my man, Nick Shook. The Nick Shook, at The Nick Shook on Twitter is where you can check him out. And of course, as he just rattled off, a one-stop shop. Got a little bit of everything going on, and it was great to catch up with him in Indianapolis as well. 702-365-9200. We want to hear from you. We've been talking trades, quarterbacks, wide receiver when it comes to DK Metcalf. What are your thoughts? We also got some sounds from Jordan Reed that we haven't got to yet that we want to get to as well. So a lot going on, a little bit of time left, but it's all good. Again, 702-365-9200. It's Raider Nation Radio. 920.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Well, there you go. Good stuff with Nick Shook, by the way, from NFL.com. Always appreciate him. Also, the news that, well, we kind of alluded to about an hour ago now at this stage of the game, the Raiders getting Geno Smith. I know that Vinny Bonsignore talked about that early in the show, early in the day. Kind of alluded to it, and then I got a text probably, I don't know, like I said, about an hour ago that it was happening, and we kind of alluded to it, and then right before 4 o'clock Pacific time, that's when the news broke from Shefty, Ian Rappaport, Tom Pelissero, Vinny Bonsignore, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, all the usual suspects about Geno Smith for a third-round pick. The Raiders sent a third-round pick. We don't know which one it is. We know that the Raiders have two of them. I'm assuming that the Raiders tried their best to keep the higher pick, I should say, as opposed to, you know, the lower pick. But it's like either 68 or 73 or something like that. One of the two picks that they had in the third round. Geno's got 1 year left on his deal. I know he's looking for a contract extension. I know Diana Rossini put out there from The Athletic that he's looking for $40 to $45 million a year. I don't know what the Raiders feel, but I think that Geno Smith, as a bridge quarterback, still giving you an opportunity to go get your quarterback, is not a bad thing. I like that better than Russell Wilson. I like that better than Justin Fields because at least you know he could play the quarterback position, right? Does he have still need room to grow? Absolutely. But he's had success under Pete Carroll, so that's the thing I feel good about. But do not ignore – this is the key for me. Do not ignore the quarterback position. He is not the end-all, be-all. He is not your – he's not the end of the road, right? I mean, he's not the answer to the test. He's not the end of the race. He's a guy that's right now. That's fine. And, again, he's a guy that could provide competition and might get beat out for all we know. But I'm okay with that. I don't mind him being part of that competition as of right now. Again, we'll see what happens now. If they go and give him some big contract extension, that's another conversation. But as of right now, the way it looks on the surface, I don't mind the move for Geno Smith. I do love the fact that Sam Darnold's not coming to town. I'll tell you that. I've been very adamant about don't want nothing to do with Sam Darnold. I'm glad that that's not happening. If any prayers have been answered, that's the one. Sam Darnold, he's only done it 1 year in Minnesota. At least Geno Smith has had success in Seattle with Pete Carroll. So it's not like, you know, Sam Darnold, he obviously wasn't coming with Kevin O'Connell. He wasn't coming with Justin Jefferson. He wasn't coming with their offensive line, their running game, their whatever the case. He was just going to be by himself. And now, look, he might end up in Seattle.
I'm good with that. I saw Mina Kimes from ESPN. Doesn't like this move for Seattle. Thinks the move for the Raiders is great. Hates the move for Seattle. She's a Seahawk fan. So they just throws that out there. But we want to hear from you. The other thing, before we go to the phone lines, is 702-365-9200. I know a lot of people were intrigued by Matt Stafford and Ashton Jeanty at 6. Do you revisit that? Do you now think about potentially Ashton Jeanty at 6 now that you have Geno Smith? I still prefer the quarterback. I still prefer the future quarterback. I still prefer Shador. But, again, I'm asking your thoughts, what you prefer at 702-365-9200. Geno Smith is in the mix. How does that affect number 6? Give us your thoughts on the quarterback and give us your thoughts on number 6 as far as the Raiders go. Again, 702-365-9200. Let's go out to the yay. To the yay, yay, the Bay Area. Lester, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Dude, excited Friday. You got me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Dude, yeah, good Friday. You know, good news. I mean, I love this move. I like it. I think it's, you know, we're looking at a third rounder for a proven quarterback, Geno Smith, who's mobile, right? And he's a pretty smart quarterback and experienced. You know, I like you said, I'd rather have him ahead of Darnold, paying Darnold $50, $60 million a year, whatever he's going to be asking for the next 2-3 years. So I'm more comfortable with this. He's worked with Pete Carroll before. So I like the move. We're not beholden to a quarterback at 6. But if Shador Sanders falls to 6, you almost have to take him. But I don't see him falling. I think there's too many QB needy teams in that top 3 or 4 right there. So, but if he falls to 6, we could still get him. I see Sanders, and also Vinny, I see Sanders and Geno being the same style quarterback, right? Mm. Mobile, they don't rely on their legs all the time, but they're accurate. They could play. They could throw in the middle of the field, throw deep. So kind of same style quarterback. But if he falls to 6, we're not beholden. But what I'm looking at now with the 6 pick, Q, I think hopefully we have an opportunity to trade down a little bit. Mm. I know, you know, you get a little cute when that comes, but if you get the right opportunity, move anywhere between 3 to 5 spots. There's going to be some good football players out there within the top 10 range. So get a couple picks, trade down a little bit. There's two players that I really like. I like Lennon. You know, we got almost like a Max Crosby clone in Lennon Jackson, the outside linebacker edge out of Arkansas. That guy's a big, he's long. And so you want to play him at the other side, and we got Tyree Wilson rotating in too, and then drop another defensive tackle later in the third round. We're going to be getting going here. Hopefully we just pick up some guys. I'd like to see another guard added in free agency like Tevin Jenkins. Like you said, I'd love to see we go after DJ Reed, the cornerback, or Carlton Davis, mm-hmm. the cornerback that are out in free agency. So I'm identifying ourselves. We're looking at a trade down. Hopefully we could also get, if we don't get a quarterback at 6, we could still develop one. Dylan Gabriel, Jalen Milroe, Will Howard in round 3. So let's see what happens. But I'm excited about this pickup with Geno Smith.
Hey, great stuff, man. Lester, thanks for the call. Appreciate you. And, yeah, I think for every reason that you mentioned, and, yeah, now you don't really need to force the issue to trade up, right? You don't have to, right? I know that I mentioned trading up before. Now you could feel comfortable sitting there at number 6 because at least you believe that the guy that, you know, they just traded for, if he's going to be the starter in 2025, at least you know that he knows what he's doing, right? And he's won under Pete Carroll. They've won double-digit games together, right? So that makes you feel comfortable with the direction. And, hell, the DK Metcalf trade is still out there potentially. And again, I'm not saying just go and blow all your draft capital on trades for veterans. I'm not saying that at all. But that's still an option out there. So this could be just a step. You know, it's funny. We ask your opinion, your thoughts, and how you feel about this. Max Crosby, who just signed his contract extension, tweeted out, LFG, let's go, right? So obviously he approves. And, again, I kind of felt like he had a little bit of an idea of what was going on behind the scenes when he signed his contract because he said he wanted to know part of the plan. He wanted to know what the plan was to winning. Obviously, he approves of Geno Smith coming in with the Raiders organization. So that's always a positive as well. Let's go out to Sacramento, California. Raider Greg, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Q, my brother, how you doing?
I'm fantastic, man. How about you?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Counting down to the number 3 is here, you know? Mm-hmm. We just enjoying life, man. I'm super fired up about Geno. One thing about him, he averaged about 23.5 touchdowns last year. He did average 11 interceptions. I mean, excuse me, for the past 3 years with the touchdown. Same thing for the interceptions, 11 interceptions. But one thing I know about Geno, he's going to get the ball. He's going to take what's in front of him, right? And that's what I really like about Geno Smith. I think he's a great – and there's something about a person that's already gone through adversity. that for me, I think is great for a British quarterback. The guy has already seen, you know, pretty much to hit pretty much football rock bottom. And to have be with Pete Carroll when he came back to glory, when he became a real good, went to the playoffs. I think it's a great pickup at six. I think it's a couple things you could do, right? Mason Graham, I like the D tackle from Michigan. I think he's a little bit slower than what you would like at his D tackle, but I like him. Will Johnson as cornerback, but I think you take Gentry, man. I was sitting on the Gentry, depending on who the quarterback is, and I think now that you got Geno Smith, you take Gentry at number six. Now you got your running game. You still gotta go out there and get receiver. There's a lot of guys. I think Godwin's in play, especially with Spytek being our GM now. I think that's something that a lot of people aren't looking at, that connection there. But I really like to see Gentry at six. I really like Geno Smith. I think one thing about him, he's going to take care of the ball. He's going to run the offense. It coupled with his old coach and with Chip Kelly, I think that's a win-win. And I would like to see taking Jackson Dart in the second round. I don't think that we're going to get to – ideally, I would like Shador, but I don't think that we're going to get to him, just where the plays were at. I think once one quarterback goes off the board, Cam Ward, it seems like there's just this thing for the past 5 years where quarterbacks just start going off the board fast. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he'll last past the fourth pick. I think you take Gentry there, but I'm super excited that we have our quarterback. It gives us a lot more options for Spytek, Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly, PG, Tom Brady. I really love it, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for Raider football, as we always is. God bless you, and God bless Raider Nation.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate this. Raider Greg in Sacramento. Let's go ahead and keep this electric circus rolling at 702-365-9200. Dino, welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Richard, just kidding. Richard and Callie, welcome to the show. What's on your mind? My bad. Richard said, F that. It's about Dino. Dino, you're up next. Sorry about that. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Q, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. Besides messing with Ari, I'm doing good.
Okay. Yeah, that last caller, I agree with a lot of his points. What I think this move does is gives them an enormous amount of options on different ways to build this team now. I don't think they're going to be trading draft picks for a guy like DK Metcalf. You know, a new regime gets in there. They want to build this team the right way, and it's not by giving away draft picks. And they got a lot of money in free agency. I really think they're going to make a play for Godwin. He's a very good player. He's a little bit injury prone, but when he's healthy, he's extremely productive, and he's a great team player. So I think with Spytek's connection with him, now you get him in there along with what they already have, Brock Bowers. You got a new quarterback. That would, you know, then it opens the door. Maybe they do take a running back at six. Now your offense is made by those three moves. You picked up your quarterback, your receiver, and your back. If not, they could take best player available at six. If the quarterback falls to them at six, boom, they can take their quarterback of the future if Sanders drops to six. If not, best player available, and then you go second round. Maybe you go Will Howard, Jackson Dart, if they're there. So I think this move is really good. They didn't overpay. They gave up a third-round pick. I believe it's the Jets pick that we got from Adams. It wasn't the Raiders three, if what I've been reading is true. I don't know if you can confirm that. But I like that they didn't overpay. I don't think he's going to break the bank if they redo his contract. He'll have he'll make big money, but that's what quarterbacks make. They're not going to be paying this guy $45, $50 million a year like they would have had to do with Darnold. And, he knows the team. He knows the coach. He knows the offense. You know, hopefully, Chip Kelly can design an offense that works, you know, for Geno's strengths. And, you know, maybe a couple of years, if they draft a guy in the second round, they sit him for a year or two, and someone's ready to take over. So, all in all, good move. And we've got to see how it plays out. Now, they have a lot of options on how to build this.
They do. They do. Dino, thanks for the call. Appreciate you. And, yeah, I mean, that's going to be the thing. Like, Chip Kelly, obviously Pete Carroll's very familiar with Geno Smith, but Chip Kelly's the new offensive coordinator for Geno Smith. So I'm interested to see how he designs the offense around him, you know, him being the starting quarterback. But the one thing we know is that they'll have a run game, because that's what Chip Kelly, to make his offense go, has to have a run game. So this move gives them options. Again, there's not – too many of the bridge quarterbacks that I was very high on, right? Well, we talked about that on yesterday. Like, every idea, I was like, no, 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 no. This one I'm good with.
I'm cool with this one. This one's fine. You know, 1-2 year deal, whatever the case may be, no problem. But, you know, anything like a 4-year, 5-year deal, no thanks, right? I mean, again, at some point, the Raiders have to eventually stumble upon their quarterback of the future. This one comes from Eric and Nodak. Q, let's be honest, the nation is much better shape than embracing Geno than last year when they signed Minshew. A lot more enthusiasm this year. Free agent period is going to be a rush. That's Eric and Nodak. I agree with that. Let's see. Hollister Raiders said, we kept our pick. We traded the Jets third-round pick. Let's go, per the Insiders NFL Network. Thank you for that. Just when Wendy said, hey, Q, hey, Ari, happy Friday to all my peeps out there in the nation. Very happy about Geno. Still want Shador at 6 or trade down to get him. Maybe I'm asking for too much, but you don't make the shot, you don't take. My boy Q would say, huh. So compete for Coach Pete. Just when Wendy, yeah. That's the thing. You're guaranteed to miss a shot you don't take. I'm with you 100%. And going back to even another text, I do think that the nation is a lot better with this Geno Smith move than they were with the move for Gardner Minshew just a year ago. So I think so far, so good when it comes to the Raiders and the decisions that they've been making. Again, showing that they're not trying to be a team for entertainment purposes only. They're not trying to be a team that is unserious. They're trying to be in the category of serious. They continue to make moves, and I think they're making smart moves and decisions with John Spytek and Pete Carroll. Let's go out to Richmond. Daniel from Richmond, is that who's up next? Is that the call?
Yep.
Yeah. Dan, there he is, Daniel from Richmond. There you go. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Hi, Q. Happy Friday, man. You know,
you too, brother.
I like what they did with Geno, man. The only thing I'm worried about how they're going to extend them, how much are they going to pay him. I know it's not my money, but, man, I hope they don't pay him 45 plus, you know. But I do like the move. They give them some options for the drive, you know, get the best player available, man. I like how this front office is working. They're, you know, they got the quarterback. They signed some free agents. They just wait for Monday, you know, for the legal tampering. Hopefully they don't pay a lot to Geno, because we do need to re-sign a lot of players, even though we got a lot of cap space, but we still need a lot of players that are free agents, and, you know, but I do like the front office, man. Go get the best player available. If it's a quarterback, it's a quarterback. If it's Gentry, it's Gentry. But, you know, we do have options. But, yeah, I do like the quarterback pick.
There it is. Thanks so much. Definitely appreciate you. A little bit of clarification here from Mike Garofalo. Sources tell the insiders the pick going from the Raiders to the Seahawks is number 92 in the third round. If you search for the draft order online, you'll see the Jets listed as having the 92nd pick. Not correct. It was Vegas after the Davante Adams trade is now Seattle. So the 92nd pick in the third round is what's going to the Seahawks. Going from the Raiders to the Seahawks is number 92. Okay, there you go. So pick number 92 overall is going to Seattle in exchange for Geno Smith, which means the Jets still hold pick number 73, which was the one the online draft orders had attributed to the Raiders. Okay, I'm trying to figure that out. Hold on. Which means, by the way, the Jets still hold pick number 73, which was the one online draft orders had attributed to the Raiders. Okay. So apparently the Raiders didn't have pick number 73. They had pick number 92. I guess that's where we're getting at. But apparently the Jets pick is the one that's going to the Seahawks. Again, that's according to Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network. I guess this will all get worked out in the wash. But I'm not mad at a third-round pick anyway. I'm good with that. I think that's fine. Not an issue, not a problem. But thank you so much, Daniel, for the call. Appreciate you representing in Richmond. Bad Boy 7 in Denver. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Been rolling with you and James since
Black Hole Banter. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Nice.
Just want to talk about Geno. I just hope we're not doing that, but probably will be. But plenty of the other quarterbacks have given us a pause, that's for sure. But I like the move overall. I still hope we do get a quarterback. I know that we'll probably be looking at players from Tampa and players from Seattle. And I was just wondering, do you think we still have the ammo to go get DK?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, Bad Boy. I appreciate you. Yeah, I do, actually. Again, I don't think that the Raiders want to get in the habit of trading away a bunch of their draft capital. But in this draft, there's not a lot of stars. In this draft, there's a lot of starters, right? So there's guys that could fill voids. And if it's just money,
If it's just, you know, if DK is good with Geno as the quarterback, which, you know, it looks like that that's, you know, most likely the scenario, you know, at least as a bridge quarterback, then I wouldn't have any problem with that because you know he's a big play guy. Brock Bowers, you know what he could be. Jacoby Myers, you know what he could be. Trey Tucker is very inconsistent, right? I mean, he's really a one-trick pony at this stage of the game. But DK Metcalf is like a big play waiting to happen. He's a guy that can go up and high point a ball. He's a guy that's just, I mean, the dude is built like a brick, you know what, right? I mean, he's just that dude. So I wouldn't have any problem if they still would have made a move for a DK Metcalf or even entertained a move for a DK Metcalf. I definitely think that they're entertaining it. I'm not sure if they're going to obtain him or not. Let's keep it in Denver and stick to Raider Dave. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, I'm loving this. I was telling people around here that I thought there was a good possibility of this if it wasn't going to be Russ, and Russ is older. So I just figured that this was happening because of that win-now attitude that they want to do. And you know that they were talking serious about the run game, and they picked up another offensive lineman, a veteran. You just got to think that at number six, if the Raiders don't grab Gentry, he is gone to Dallas. It is 100%. Lock that in, take it to the bank. That is what's going to happen there. There's no way around that. So you're right, and the other caller's right. I wonder what's going to happen when nobody wants to offer a first and a third for DK and what that price will be. Other than that, with everybody only having one pick this year in the first round, it's probably going to be a little bit more pricey to get somebody to move off of their first pick late in the draft to come up and get Dart. I just don't know if it's going to happen past 18. But this could mean that, you know, Seattle goes and gets that at 18 and get their quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see it all play out, but I'm certainly good with this.
Yeah, I am as well. I am with as well. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you. And, yeah, I mean, you know, because Geno is younger, it feels a little bit better, right? I mean, you know what he is. He's not going to wow you, that's for sure. But you know what he is. He's obviously younger. He can move a little bit. Right, I mean, it's just this feels a lot better than the Russell Wilson scenario. It feels better than trading for Kirk Cousins. I like it better than the bringing in Aaron Rodgers. Like those, I'm way more on board with this than I would be with some of those other guys. Obviously, Sam Darnold. Man, I'm so glad that is not a scenario. Because again, you're gonna root for him. You're gonna want him to do well. But man, I just didn't believe in him at all. So I'm glad that's not part of the scenario. Let's get one more call in at least. Houston and L.A. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting here entertaining, you know, company and all that good stuff, family, and I'm looking at the phone like, what? But, hey, I think, honestly, we have it for the purpose of what it is. You know what I mean? Like, it being a bridge QB. Because once I started really doing, like, canceling cats out, I was thinking, okay, I like Aaron Rodgers. But, man, is he guaranteed to show up to OTAs or anything? Mm-hmm. Then I was like, man, can't depend on that. Then I go over and I start to think, the USC cat. Nah, man, I'm not feeling that. Sam Donald, he was cool at USC, but I want him to do well in the league. He's been stinking up the joint just 1 year, and he's going to want big money. That's crazy. I don't want that either. Then I start going out online like, all right, well, Justin Fields, this or whatever. I'll be like this. Geno, when it comes down to being able to throw and kind of use his feet when he needs to, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's a little bit more accurate than Justin, and he's a serviceable quarterback for the squad that's going to do exactly what we need him to do. We're not expecting him to come out being a superstar, man, but what we do need is foundation, and that's what we got right now, Raider Nation. We got all kind of options to do whatever we need, man, and if Shadua, one of them cats ain't there, I would straight trade down, get more assets, man, really take advantage of the situation, and don't be surprised if Pete Carroll does something like that, you know? Build him for the future. Geno, I'm glad we got him, straight up. But, you know, you have to keep in mind an open perspective, but he might not be it forever, so it's a great situation for us. It's a bridge. All right, y'all, everybody have a great weekend, man. And Raider Nation, baby. Great
there time. He goes. Houston and L.A., great call, man. Appreciate you. Fantastic feedback. What a show. And that's not a tip of the cap to me. That's a tip of the cap to Raider Nation. What a show. We've gone fast and furious, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., man. Just electric circus. A lot of great feedback. We started out talking about potentials. of a quarterback trade to finding out about a quarterback trade. Sign, seal, and deliver. We talked to Vinny Bonsignore. We talked to Teron Davenport. We heard from Nick Shook from NFL.com. Lots of great stuff. A lot of great feedback. What we know going into the weekend ahead of free agency. Ahead of free agency. Max Crosby, don't have to worry about him. He's under contract. Raiders are not going to go get Sam Darnold when free agency opens up or the legal tampering period because they traded for Geno Smith. Now there's many different options. What we don't know, are they still interested in DK Metcalf? Are they interested in others? We'll find out, but it's expected that this is going to be a fun offseason for the Silver and Black. Raider Nation, you have a great weekend. We'll talk again on Monday on Raider Nation Radio 920.